Chapter 4.
Just help me carry the remains down to the basement. The cement floor is thin in places. I'll break through it and bury old Mr. Miller underneath the building, Tuttle said.
Stop talking about it, Roiland cried.
Tuttle continued in a soft monotone.
We'll tell the other tenants that Mr. Miller got sick and was taken off to a nursing home. I've been talking about that anyway. And some of Miller's old friends here know his daughter was planning to put him away. Nobody need be the wiser. I'll handle the social security checks that the postman leaves. We'll say Mr. Miller is much better off where he is, Tuttle added, his lips twisting into a thin, menacing smile.
Roiland followed Tuttle to Mr. Miller's door. As they stepped into the apartment, Roiland started to tremble. What would Mr. Miller's body look like? Would his eyes be open? Roiland knew that if he looked at Mr. Miller's poor dead face, he would have that awful image imprinted in his mind forever. But when Roiland came into the familiar room, the body was already securely wrapped in a blanket and bound with twine. Mr. Miller's remains looked like nothing so much as a mummy.
Think of it as just a heavy object. It'll be easier to handle, Tuttle advised as they picked it up.
Roiland and Tuttle carried the body down the back stairs to Tuttle's basement apartment. Smells of stale cigarette smoke and garbage filled the basement. It was dirty and unkept, like a rat's nest. It seemed a perfect home for Tuttle. Roiland felt as if he were going to be sick.
Here we go, Tuttle said as they put the body down. I'll bury it. It may take some time, but don't worry about it. Old Tuttle will handle the messy details.
I still can't believe he died like that, said Roiland. It seems...
He was just a crazy old man, Roiland. Don't worry about it. He was a nuisance to himself and everyone else.
Tuttle reached out to put a consoling hand on Roiland's arm, but Roiland jumped back as if the venomous jaws of a snake were about to clamp onto him.
Don't ever touch me, he gasped.
Have it your own way, boy, Tuttle said,
a sneer turning his lip and revealing a gap-toothed smile.
Pleasant dreams.
Roiland turned and fled from the room, running for the stairs with Tuttle's awful laugh trailing him like acrid smoke. When Roiland came into the apartment, his mother glared at him, her arms folded.
Where you been? You were supposed to be here right after school to babysit your brothers, remember? Now I'm going to be late for work.
In shock about Mr. Miller's death, Roiland had forgotten that this was the one night each week that he and Anne Boleyn had to babysit their three younger brothers, Antoine, Chad, and Lonnie. Some nights, Darcy Wills or Tara Carson came over to help watch the kids.
You better have a good excuse, boy. I know you ain't working tonight, so where you been?
Just leave me alone,
Roiland shouted, heading for his bedroom. His mother stood in the hallway, blocking his escape.
Don't talk to me in that tone of voice, boy. What's the matter with you?
Mom, just get off my case,
Roiland yelled, dodging around her and running down the hall.
Every day you get more and more like your father, she yelled after him.
Roiland slammed the door of his room, his mother's words haunting him.
Maybe she's right, he thought.
Screaming and slamming doors were common when his father was around. Now he was doing the same thing. Through the thin walls of the apartment, he could hear the sound of his youngest brother crying. The loud door slam must have awakened him. Lying on his old mattress, Roiland felt more alone than he had ever felt in his life. From the living room, he could hear the muffled voices of his mother and sister.
They must be talking about me, he thought.
He tried not to think of what they would say if they knew about Tuttle and Mr. Miller. After the talking stopped, he heard the dull thud of the front door closing. His mother had left for work. In the silence of his bedroom, Roiland remembered the package he had placed under his mattress the day before. Roiland quickly reached down and grabbed the small box. Carefully, he opened it and gently lifted out the necklace. The gold glimmered in the dim light of his room. If Corey had not wanted this necklace so badly, Roiland would not have gone to Mr. Miller's room and caused his death. But Roiland could not be mad at Corey. She was so beautiful, so sweet. Just thinking of her began to cool the fever of his anxiety. But then, He remembered carrying Mr. Miller's body down to the dreary basement. Poor Mr. Miller. He always treated Roiland right. Roiland never would have hurt Mr. Miller, not for anything. But he did, and now there was no way to take it back. Roiland slammed the palm of his hand against his forehead. He felt as if he had been trapped in a horrible dream. It did not seem possible that Mr. Miller was dead, and Roiland had caused it. But it's all real, Roiland thought, struggling to push the image of Mr. Miller's wrapped body out of his mind. Roiland closed his eyes and tried to bring Corey's beautiful face to life before him. He tried to imagine how she would look when she first laid eyes on the necklace, how she would scream with delight. Roiland finally fell asleep, thinking of Corey, but he dreamed about Mr. Miller. In his dream, he was a small boy again, 9 or 10, and he was in Mr. Miller's apartment. The two of them were playing with the tiny cars. Roiland felt so safe and happy there. Mr. Miller was like an ever-patient, doting grandfather 1 minute and like a little boy the next. He and Roiland pretended all the little cars were traveling across the floor in a great traffic jam, and he did not mind the mess they made. Roiland always looked forward to escaping from his yelling, cursing, hitting father to this oasis of peace and fun. "I'm sorry, Mr. Miller," Roiland cried out in his dream. The cry woke him up. He was lying in the pitch black of his bedroom, and his face was wet with tears. Roiland had not cried in such a long time. The last time was when he was 5 years old, and his finger almost got smashed in a slammed car door. After that, Roiland never cried again. Even when his father stood him against the door and whipped him, he did not cry. Even when he got shot, he did not cry. But now, Roiland wept. For the first time in his life, he felt an overwhelming sense of guilt. He had done bad things before. He had stolen small items from the dollar store. He had taunted kids at Blueford, like girls who weighed too much, and kids with skin problems. Not long ago, he had even teased Hakeem about his stuttering. In the past, Roiland could laugh off his behavior. But now, everything was different. Ambrose Miller was dead, and Roiland was to blame. And now, that good man would be buried under a concrete slab in a dank basement. There would not even be a funeral. Not even a little marker telling when Ambrose Miller died or a little cross carved in the stone. Just a piece of dank ground in that basement room with nobody to grieve or even to know. Roiland got out of bed and went to the window. He felt sick. His head pounded and his stomach hurt. He wished he were dead instead of Mr. Miller. In the morning, Roiland managed to eat some oatmeal. Then he fled as Mom was coaxing food into the boys and the baby. He could not stand being around his family now because he felt so evil. His little brother's innocent faces reproached him. He felt like a monster in the midst of his family. "I'm worse than Dad," Roiland thought as he drove to school. "At least he never killed anybody." When Roiland walked into history class early for a change, Mr. Cooper greeted him cheerfully. "Hey, Roiland, you turn over a new leaf or something? We got 5 whole minutes till Ms. Eckerly gets here. Don't mess with me right now, Cooper." Cooper's eyes grew huge, like full moons in his dark face. "Man, give a dude a compliment, he'd like to chew your head off. What's wrong with you, Roiland? You drop out of the bed on the wrong side or something?" "Maybe the cops are after him," Steve Morris said, laughing. Roiland spun around, terror clawing at him. "What you saying that for? You don't know nothing about me. Why you talking trash about me? You want to get beat down?" "Hey, you guys," Hakeem said. "Just cool it, okay? Nobody wants trouble." Roiland saw Darcy exchange a look of surprise with Hakeem. He could tell the other kids were looking at him as if he were crazy. He did not care. Right now, he felt like a ticking time bomb, ready to explode.